Do what? Yes. Now, while you're getting your Bible and turning to Mark chapter 4, let me make a couple of announcements. Brother Henry Rose lost his sister-in-law this week, and they'll be going to that funeral this afternoon. So if you pray for that family, we would appreciate that. Then Brother Terry Stewart, Sister Terry Stewart, sister-in-law, right? And they've called in hospice, and it's looking very grim. So if you would pray for the Stewart family and her sister-in-law, we'd appreciate that. A lot of sorrow, a lot of grief, a lot of heartache in those kind of things. But God can comfort, God can give strength when we don't have strength, and God can use occasions like this to speak to people's hearts in a way that He cannot speak to them pretty much any other time. And so if you would pray that God would move and have His way and comfort the family, we'd appreciate that. Okay, now are any of them saved, sis? You don't know? Yeah. All right. Now, what's the relationship again, one more time?
My stepfather's brother's wife.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, sister-in-law. Okay. Pray for that family. It's not unexpected or. Okay. All right. Please pray for that family, too. All right. If you have your Bible this morning, Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4. Look down in verse 35, if you would. The same day, when the evening was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. That's what I want to do. I want to get to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship, and there were with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind, said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? Let's pray. Father, help us this morning to preach. We need Your power, need Your leadership, need Your strength. Lord, we pray that You'd speak through us, hide us behind the cross, remove us, and get us out of the way, that the Word of God might be clear and concise and useful, and the Holy Spirit could use it. Father, we pray this morning for the message, that You'd use it to speak to people's hearts, draw, save people closer to Thee, remind us from which we came and where we go. And Lord, if there be anybody here lost, without God, without hope, perhaps religious, maybe in church, but not converted, I pray, speak to that heart this morning. We'll thank You for that. And Father, these families that have suffered loss and are soon to suffer loss, I pray that You'd be with those families, each member of the immediate family, the extended family, close friends. Lord, it's always a loss. It's always a time of grief, always a time of sorrow. Lord, You know we don't handle those things well, and it takes something from us and takes something out of us, and I pray, oh God, You might strengthen and sustain, Help us in our hour and moment of weakness. Help us to stand strong. I pray that you'd help those that are your children, saved by God's grace. Help them to be strong and steadfast, loving and compassionate, but unmovable, that those about might see their strength and their steadfastness, their resolution, and desire some of what they have. May we use it as an opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I pray, O God, help Sister Terry and her family, help Brother Henry and his family, help Sister Kathy's family, Lord, to manifest the grace and the peace of Almighty God. We'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this morning, I'll bring you a little message entitled The Crossing. Now, this is not John Edwards and Crossing Over. Any screwball can get himself a shot on television. All you got to do is just prove that you're wacky. You got about three screws loose, playing with half a deck, no light in the belfry, thermostat wires are shorted, one oar in the water, all them little one-liners. If you're just about half nuts, you can make it in TV land. Amen? Now, the most surefire way is to be some kind of radical, fanatical nut job of a preacher, and the world would just love you to death. NBC, ABC, CBS, all the rest of them, they'll hunt you up. They won't put you on to make a spectacle out of Christianity. If you don't believe it, just turn on your TV set Sunday morning and watch virtually anything but Charles Stanley. Charles Stanley is a milquetoast preacher. He always has been. But that's the ministry God gave him. He's been very successful at it, and God has used him. He's been very effective for the Lord Jesus Christ. But some of them other guys, that Rod Parsley, whatever he is, and Joel Osteen, and I can't remember all of them. They're just nutty as a fruitcake. And thousands of people just sending them all that money. And them boys are sitting down there paying $12,000. I read a thing a while back. One of them paid $12,000 for a toilet. $12,000 for a toilet. Got an airfield built right behind his house so he can land his personal jet to fly him all around the country to pick up them buckets with your money in it. I don't know how I got off on them guys. Yeah, John Edwards got on TV and he's got that thing crossing over, you know, and he purports to talk to the dead and bring back your loved ones and all this, that, and of course, you know, it's a sham. When you're dead, you're dead. It's like all them folks think they died and come back. One, they either didn't die or they still died. Because once you gone, you was gone. One point unto man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. No second shot, no third shot, no return. You know, I was listening to that guy, what's that Jewish fella? Sid Ross. I like listening to him. He's funny. He's Sid Ross, a Jewish man who's red hot for Jesus, and he wants you to be red hot too. He said, there's more. There's so much more, and I want you to get all of it. He said, our guest tomorrow is a fellow that's had 740 visits from angels. His thing yesterday or Friday was there's a door in heaven that somebody's revealed to him that you can access anytime you want to. I said, hallelujah, glory to God. I want some of that. all them guys are phony. See, they're all shams. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The only way you get anything anymore, we live by faith and not by sight. So God expects you to read this book and believe it and just walk by it. And you don't get any open doors and you don't get angels and, all that nonsense. So this morning, I want to talk to you about the crossing, but I want to talk to you about a biblical crossing. Amen. Now, the crossing we look at here is not primarily the crossing over Chili Jordan. You know, we have all those songs. about crossing over and getting home to glory. Now, I like them songs. I'm glad because they remind us that this life is temporary, that we're in a transit state, that we are pilgrims and sojourners. We are not residents here. And we sing on life's tempestuous sea, and I won't have to cross Jordan alone, and the old ship of Zion. I like all them songs. But they're all talking about when you cross over from this life to the next. I want to back the thing up a bit and talk about the crossing life's tempestuous sea. Now, I want to talk about crossing the sea of life. Now, we'll get to that point where we depart and go to be with the Lord. That's in there. But for some of us, there's still some sea to cross. There's still some life to live. See? And so I want to talk to you primarily from that perspective, that life is a sea. You are the ship, and you got to get this boat from this side to the other side, and that there's going to be some time between those two events. From the time you depart till the time you arrive, you're going to be out on the open sea, and you've got to survive that, and hopefully survive it reasonably well, or at least survive it as well as you can. And so when we talk about the crossing, we're talking about the voyage of life, crossing from the womb to the tomb, crossing from this shoreline to that shoreline. And so I want to talk to you about that, and hopefully it won't take too long. So take your Bible there and look down in verse 35, and we'll just go through some of these verses and talk about them a little. He said, "And the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side." So they're fixing to take a little voyage. Jesus on board a boat. He's got his disciples there, and he's been preaching to the multitude, but now they're going to launch out, and he said, "Let us go to the other side." They weren't going out in the middle and stop. They weren't going to go out and park. They weren't going to go out and drop anchor. The sole objective of this voyage was to get to the other side. They weren't going on a vacation. They weren't going to stop at Hawaii or Honolulu. They weren't going down to what's that island down here? Aruba. They weren't going to take a little jaunt out and stop off someplace and enjoy themselves. They were just going one place. They only had one objective. They only had one stop on their itinerary. They were leaving here and they're going to the other side. Amen. Boy, I wish I could get Christians that focused, that all they were concerned about was getting from here to glory land, getting from here to heaven, and quit worrying about all the stops along the way and all the little side trips and all the little distractions. Well, if they could just get their heart, their mind, and their soul stayed on getting to the other side, amen, you'd see a whole different brand of Christianity. And so this little voyage they're fixing to take is a picture of the Christian life. The sea, of course, is life itself, and the little boat is going to be you. And out on that wide sea, there are lots of little boats. And every little boat is important. Every little boat has got the same goal, but every little boat has got the same objective, and every little boat on that sea is supposed to be headed to the same place. Everybody you know has got one objective, to get through life and get to the other side, and get to the other side in good shape. Amen? Now, boy, there's almost as many opinions about how to do that as there are people. Every boat, the skipper of that boat has got his own ideas about how to get there and what's important along the way. I'm afraid most of those people don't take into consideration what this book says is the best way to get there. And so here you are out on life's sea. Boy, it's a big old ocean. I don't know if you've ever been at sea. Any of y'all ever been on a cruise? You get out there, and what can you see after a while? Just water. Water, water everywhere, and not drop to drink. We were in Vietnam, and we were sailing off the coast, and sometimes we'd go 15, 20, 30 days and never see anything but water. If you looked off the bow, it was water. Off the stern was water. Off the port side was water. Off the starboard side was water. It was just water, water, water. Man, after a while, you kind of get to wondering if you with Kevin Costner in Waterworld. I mean, there ain't nothing out there but liquids, huh? And it's just as far as you can see. I'm saying life sea is a big sea. So why is that important? Because there's all kind of things in it. All kind of things in the sea. I've been on a lot of ships. I spent a lot of time to sea. I spent 20 years in the Navy. I'm supposed to have seen a lot of ocean. Now, Tommy never saw much ocean, even though he spent time in the Navy. They put him in a steel tube and it sunk. And he never saw nothing.
I saw a nuclear reactor, and that's all.
Yeah. Real Navy guys, we got to see the world and the sea. But you'd be sailing along out there, and here would come a school of dolphin. And that was fun to watch. And one day we're out there, and we came up on a whole school, I guess that's the right word, of whales. They're out there playing. They're frolicking. They're just having a good old time. We were out there one night. We're standing up in the catwalk. We're sailing along there in the South China Sea, and we see these things moving in the water, and they're glowing. It's sea snakes. There's thousands of them fool things out there. And some of them things are this big around and 100 feet long. I mean, it's just amazing. It turned me against swimming in the ocean. Amen. You say, well, I'm saying you can see all kind of stuff out there. And one day we're out there sailing along, and if you've ever been to Vietnam and sailed in the South China Sea, some days it's like 105, 107 degrees, and there is not one breath of air moving. And the ocean over there is so deep that it looks like India ink. It's just almost black. It is so blue. And of course, it's like standing on top of the world's biggest mirror. There's not a ripple in it anywhere. And it just reflects black. It's just the sun is shining on it, and it is so dark, it's like a big mirror. It's amazing. I mean, I've stood and looked at that thing, and sometimes the ship would be moving, and the ocean looks like a big mirror, and you look down, and the water, the froth coming up from the bow of the ship, has got a blue tint to it. It's not white. It's so dark that the water itself has got a bluish color to it. That's amazing. That evening, same ocean, probably within 5 miles, because we were probably going in a big circle, because I kept noticing that the sun kept coming up over here, and then it would be over there, and then a couple hours later, it would be back over here, so I know we were going round and round the Mulberry. But same day, same ocean, same ship, out of a clear blue sky, literally clear blue sky, a storm comes. The ship is rocking and rolling and pitching and up and down. And all them little ships that we used to see out here, they'd have a couple of cruisers and a frigate or two and maybe a couple of destroyers. They gone. They deserted us. There ain't nobody out there but us. We're the only ship that I can see anywhere. The storm's so bad, everybody else done beat feet. But man, we rocking and rolling, and the waves are coming up and crashing on the bow on the USS Enterprise. From the waterline to the flight deck is 90 feet. That's roughly six-story building. From the flight deck to the top of the island, the superstructure, is another 11 stories. I've seen those waves smash into the side of that ship and the water go up over the superstructure. That's pretty rough. Say, well, you're out there and there ain't nothing but water but for 3,000 miles in every direction. There ain't nothing to slow it down. Them waves get to going, son. I mean, they just get ferocious. 1 minute, perfect calm. The next minute, here's a storm that's big enough to sink an aircraft carrier. That's pretty rough. In that ocean, there are all kind of things. That ship runs radar and sonar all the time. Say, why? Well, because you never know when you're going to run into another ship. You never know when you're going to run into an island. You never know when you're going to be in shallow water and rip the bottom out. You never know when there's going to be a submarine under you that he doesn't know where he's at. So you got to watch out for him. Amen. So they keep the radar and the sonar going all the time because there's all kind of obstacles out there that can destroy that ship. And if it doesn't totally destroy it and sink it, it tears it all to pieces and it has to go into port and it's in a repair station for weeks or months, which is just lost time. See? And so you have to watch out because while that ocean looks like it's endless and it looks so beautiful and it is so tranquil, there are literally hundreds of things in there that are unforeseen that can destroy a ship in a moment of time. Now that's the way life is. You're sitting there fat, dumb, and happy. Got a good job, your bills are paid, your family's doing good, you got 2 more years on your mortgage, and as soon as you pay that off, you trade in that old car and buy, everything's just going your way. You're socking away money in your 401k, the kids are doing good, the grandkids are doing good, you're in a good little church, and just the truth is, life is good. And you're so dumb, you think it's going to be like that forever. It ain't going to be like that forever. Storms are coming. Storms are coming. I mean, sail that boat long enough, you're going to run into one. I guarantee it. Sail long enough, and you hit an obstacle. We were up in Connecticut, New York City, a couple weeks ago. Took the wife up there for a couple of days. And went to this fella's house, and he's got a big, fine house. And he's got a big old boat that he sails out there on the ocean. And Jim was telling me that he broke it. So I asked him about it. So we were over at their house, and I said, I heard you tore your boat up. He said, yeah. He said they were going someplace. He's been there a million times before, and but he got a little too far over, and there's a reef under there. He ran his boat up on that reef and ripped the bottom out and did about $30,000 worth of damage to the hull of his boat. And never saw what he ran over. One moment of carelessness, one moment of inattention, and the boat was in peril of sinking. That's the way life is. Don't do that to me. It startles me when that thing goes off. Huh. Y'all just put one of the things on your belt and let it go to vibrate and see if it don't addle you. Just try it sometime. Anyway. So the sea of life is a big sea, and it has all kind of things seen and unforeseen. And you're one little boat, and you've got a goal of getting from this side to that side. So, boy, you better be careful. You better be careful where you sail. You better be careful who you sail with. Amen. Why? Because life is unpredictable. It's unruly, unmanageable. It's filled with storms and contrary winds. Here's the bad part, is there's no turning back. Once you set sail on the sea of life, you got to sail to the other side. And you either make the other side or you go down in the effort. There ain't no going back to the port. You can't stop time. You can't turn your life back. Once your ship is launched, it is set on a course to reach the other side one way or the other. And the only thing that keeps it from getting to the other side is it sinks en route. I wish sometimes there was a place you could turn aside for a while, but there isn't. Now, the next thing about that, look down in verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. said a great storm of wind. They didn't set out on the sea in a storm. They set out on the sea in a calm. They set out in the right conditions. They set out for the right motive. They set out for the right destination. But en route, all of a sudden, the storm came up. You hold that thing, tickles. So they set out, and everything's going fine, and then unbeknownst to them, the storm comes. Now, their ship is involved in the storm, whether it wants to be or not. Nobody asked their permission. Nobody asked if it was okay. It just came, and they got to deal with it. You have any people say, oh, I just can't cope. I just can't deal with it. Well, you don't have any choice. You're alive and breathing, and you don't have any choice. You got to deal with it. Whether you like it or not, whether it's what you want or not, whether it's the life you want or not, it's the one you got. You got to play the hand you're dealt. But boy, isn't it amazing how quickly storms can arise. All you got to do is make that quick visit down to the doctor's office and get that bad report. All you got to do is pick up the telephone one day. I'm sitting at home one afternoon, just got in, and we're living in Virginia Beach. The phone rang, and my uncle's on the other end. In my whole life, he never called me before. When he called, I knew something was bad wrong. I didn't know if one of my parents was dead or one of my brothers was dead. And then he said, Bob, he said, the Army called. That's my brother John. He's a helicopter pilot. I knew John was dead. You know, that's a storm in your life. That's a storm in your life. I'll be quite honest with you. I just wasn't ready for John to die. I led him to the Lord a couple of years before that, and for the first time in our lives, we were getting close and spending some time with each other, and now all of a sudden, he's dead. I wasn't ready for him to die. It upset me. It took me a long time to adjust to John dying. You ever had a storm in your life come up like that? Somebody, something, a child, one of your children, a grandchild goes wrong, gets in trouble, doesn't do right. They come into this world misshapen. A million things can happen. Those are storms you have to deal with. We were in a restaurant a while back, and there was a mom and a dad in there, and they had a child that had severe Down syndrome. Severe. And they were feeding and taking care of, and I thought, there's a storm you have to face sometime. Nobody, they wouldn't have chosen it, but they got it. You don't have any choice about something, but you do have to deal with it. You do have to live with it. And so, boy, here you are on life's tempestuous sea, and storms arise. Storms you don't want, storms you didn't choose, storms you don't understand. And you're tempted to say, why me, why us, why this, why now? But there it is. What are you going to do about it?
Look in verse 38.
And he was in the hinder part of the ship, sleep on a pillow. And they awake him, saying to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now notice, he is in the boat the whole time. He's just taking a little nap. And so the people in the ship were busy going about sailing the little ship. And they really wasn't paying Jesus much attention. But boy, the minute trouble come, they found him, didn't they? You ever done that? I mean, I know you believe in him. I know you love him. I know you're saved by God's grace. I mean, you're a Christian, and you know when you got saved, and you got a testimony and all that. But truth is, you know, when life is good, sometimes you can sail that boat without him. Hey, a lot of Christians running around with Jesus asleep in the back of the boat. He's there, but he's not in control. He's not in charge. He's not even considered. A lot of folks like that. But you know what happened? Sometimes storms come. Boy, I bet you when the storms come, you wake him up. Amen. I do. I'm as guilty as everybody. You know, when my life is good, my wife is healthy, my job is okay, the church is doing all right, my friends are okay, all my children are doing all right, I can get as complacent as anybody. That's just human nature. I don't know anybody that's exempt from that. We try to work at it. We try to stay close to God, stay in tune with God, try to read and pray and meditate and think about God. But boy, when things are good, it's easy to get in kind of a lull there. Not backslid, not in sin, not going away from God, just content. And God's not as important sometimes as he is other times. Or at least we're not as active in our relationship with him. He's like a friend that's out of town. He's still our friend, he's just not around. But boy, the minute trouble comes, first time you have that real bad chest pain, amen. Boy, you thought, man, I thought I was having the big one right there. I talked to a lady the other day and somebody had choked her. And she thought, this is the way I'm going to die. This is where I go right here. I'm going to die getting choked to death. Well, I tell you what, she's thankful to be alive. I guarantee, buddy, when death comes knocking, or you think it is, I guarantee you can come calling on God. Boy, this storm arose, and the waves started beating in the boat, and then fell back, hey, Lord, hey, Jesus, hey, wake up! Did you ever notice that what panics us doesn't seem to panic the Lord too much? I'm glad that in the midst of the worst storm in the world, the worst storm your life will ever face, there's always a cool head around. It's a panic to us. It's a terror to us. We're beside ourselves. But the Lord wakes up and, what's going on? Lord, don't you care that we perish? Look, the boat's full of water. It's all that. Stop. No big deal. Didn't have to flex a muscle. Didn't overtax him. He wasn't too tired. Didn't have to figure out a way to overcome. He said, oh, the wind. Oh, stop. I'm glad there's somebody bigger than any storm I ever have. Amen. And I am glad that when the storm comes, I don't care how negligent I may have been, I can run and find him, and he's always going to be there. You know what he said? He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so when you're in that little boat and you're out on life's sea and the storms come, guess what? He's still in the boat and he's not going anywhere, and he'll be right there with you. Now, I've always thought it'd been nice if he'd have kept the storms to himself. Just send them on lost people. Have you ever felt like that? Hey, Lord, I'm doing the best I can. I mean, I'm giving you 10% of every dime I make. And I'm in your house 3 times a week. And I read my Bible every day. I pray with my wife every day. I try to be a witness. How about just letting good stuff come my way and send all that bad stuff on Tommy? On the lost. I'm just teasing. But you ever felt like that? Why don't you let the wicked get it? I mean, this guy beats his wife, drinks liquor and smokes cigarette and raises the hell all week. How come this sweet little old lady had to get cancer? Why couldn't have been that sucker? Amen. I felt that way a time or two. You just got to leave that stuff in God's hand, because you can't figure that kind of stuff out. I'm thankful, though, that as a Christian, when I sail across life's tempestuous sea, I'm never alone. I'm on board the old ship of Zion, and the skipper is on board. He may be in his cabin, but he's on board. Amen. Never alone. No, never alone. Y'all ever heard that old song? Oh, man, what a song. Never alone. No, never alone. I love that thing. I love that thing. In your darkest hour, He is there. Man, last year, been just about a year now, wife went in for a checkup, and they said, oops, you need to go see this guy. That scared us. We wanted to see this guy, and he said, we're going to put you in the hospital. We're going to do surgery in the morning. We scared death by then. He said, well, now, preacher, aren't you a Christian? Don't you live close to God? What are you being afraid for? Because I'm just like you, buddy. I love that girl. And the thought of losing her, something happening to her, scares me to death. Amen. Amen. I wish I was of such great faith that I said, oh, well, the Lord will take care of it. I believe that. And I was praying that. And I was worrying and fretting the whole time. Amen. And if you can face something like that and not stew about it, you're a better man than me. Or you don't care about yours like I care about mine. Because, buddy, I thought of something happened to her scared me to death. Amen. That's my partner. That's my right hand. That's the other half of my life. Amen. Besides, I could never find another one to put up with me. I was glad when that happened, I could knock on the captain's door. He was on board.
Amen.
I remember when I was in the Navy, we'd pull into a port or something, and every time some of the big shots go off, they ring this little bell, and they'll say, Comcare Group 7 departing, and they ring that little bell, you know. And when the skipper of the ship would leave, they'd say, ding, ding, U.S. Enterprise departing. That means the skipper was gone. They don't have no bell on my ship.
Amen.
There ain't no bell on my ship. My skipper never leaves. He's always on board. Amen?
Amen.
All right, where are we at? Verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind. Oh, goodness, I'm late. Yeah. He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. This is the voyage of the miraculous here. He arose and he rebuked. Now, I had several things to say there, but for time's sake, let me say this. The boys on board didn't calm the sea. Their navigating skills didn't get them out of the storm. It wasn't their seamanship. It wasn't their tenacity. It wasn't their bravery. Let me tell you what got him out of this storm. God got him out of this storm. Jesus calmed the waves. Amen. And buddy, when out on life's sea, you go through a storm, you sail through a dangerous place, and you come out in one piece on the other side, you make sure that you give the praise and the honor and the glory to the Lord. None of this stuff, man, boy, we was lucky that time. No, you wasn't lucky. God took care of you. Amen and amen. Boy, I was smarter than that time. I figured that one out. Boy, I was clever that. No, you ain't clever enough to get through the storm. The Lord gets you through the storm. If you don't want to praise Him next time, maybe you go through a storm, He'll just sleep through it. And we'll see how well you do. I think it's a lot easier just to praise the Lord for himself. Amen. Then in verse 40, and they say unto him, he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Well, I'll tell you why, Lord. We're just weak. There's a lot of things we just don't understand. And sometimes we can't tell you if you're there or not. And we get scared. We're like little children, Lord. You ever watch little kids? They just fine as a frog hair, as long as they know right where mama or daddy's at. I remember when Seth was little, we went on vacation. We were down in NQC, National Quartet Convention, and it's a big old huge place. And there's 45,000 people there. And Seth was going to go get something, and so I sent him to get it. And he would walk a little ways and he'd turn and look and make sure I was still standing. I said, I'll be right here, buddy. And he'd walk a little ways and he'd turn and he'd look back. As long as I was there, he was fine. One time he was doing that and some people, I didn't move, but some people got between me and him. And I could see, but as short as he was, he couldn't see me. And he looked and he couldn't see me. And he went like this. And he went like that. And he quit going that way. He was standing right there and he was looking. And when the people finally moved out of the way and he could see me, he turned and went that way. But he just had to see Pa. Amen. If we can just see Jesus, we're okay. There's something very comforting about that. There's something very, very peaceful about that. If we could just keep our eye on the Lord, as long as we can see Him, the storm's not so bad. It's when you get your eye off of Him. And if you look at the waves, chapter 5, verse 1, I love this. I didn't read this before, but this is the conclusion. And they came over to the other side of the sea under the country of the Gadarenes. Now, what did it say in our text verse? Verse 35, let us pass over to the other side. What did it say in chapter 5, verse 1? They passed over to the other side. You know what that is? That's success. Was it success without trouble? No. Was it success without turmoil? No. Was it success without fear? No. Was it success without cost? No. But was it success? Yes, it was. That's life. Good times, bad times, wins, losses, rained out, break even, hardships, disappointments, confusion, it don't go your way. But you know what? As long as you stay on board and stay with Jesus, you see, the truth is, if he's on board and the ship sinks, he's got to sink with it. And he's not going to sink. So when trouble comes in life, don't jump overboard. That's going from the frying pan to the fire. Stay on board. Trouble should draw you closer to God, should make you stronger. And when you see his deliverance, you see his faith, you see his love, you see his consistency, it's supposed to encourage you. Besides that, the only guarantee of the other side, the only guarantee of the other side, is to be on board with him. Chapter 5 and verse 1, and they came to the other side. That's what I want to do. I want to head to the, I'm headed to the other side. And I want to get there in as good a shape as I can. And so far, I must confess, I ain't doing too bad. Life's going to throw things at you that you don't want. Throw things at you that you can't explain. Going to throw things that upset your whole life. But the only possibility of real success in the midst of every storm, go to the back of the boat and wake him up. Draw nigh unto the Lord, and he will draw nigh unto thee. God's people are to stay as close to him as you can. I wish I could camp out in the back of the boat. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy.